piece. I know it all in my head. I can make changes on the fly.
Bad songwriting. One day, I was smoking strange. When I met a penguin, goddamn it, he was deranged. We were talking soccer, then it all fucking changed. I saw him press record and upload it to his page. Oh, that deranged penguin. For an Antarctic bird, he should talk fast. Oh, that deranged penguin. He made me an unwilling victim of his podcast.
Folks, ladies and gentlemen, it's the Deranged Penguin Podcast. You know, the one brought to you whenever we feel like it, man.
I thought it was MeAngryNation.com. I'm in the wrong place. I'll see you guys later.
You might sound like, this guy sounds familiar. Yeah, it's happened to me.
I never think that because I don't listen to that.
Yeah, you listened to my podcast today, Gina. What did you think?
I thought after I listened to it, I wanted you to stop talking to me.
She did do that because then we went to lunch together and she was like, you know, I've listened to you talk for like an hour and I don't want to hear you talk anymore. That's literally what she said to me. And I didn't stop really talking.
But I mean, it was a good episode. I wanted to hear more about the game because it was fun.
She's talking about the UNT victory over UDSA. I did that on the other show and I meant when I say UDSA. Then you listen to this show more. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Deranged Penguin Podcast, and we're supposed to do this bi-weekly, but we ran into a snag, and that snag is fatigue. Can you believe
fatigue.
This mess?
Fatigue.
Yeah.
I know him
well. How come you're looking at us from Shadow World? Like,
is it dark?
Yeah.
I am in the dark.
Look like you're coming to probe us.
as we've learned this week, is unallowed.
I missed this whole like big deal like Facebook today. I was like, what's going on with this? I don't pay attention to the universe anymore.
Yeah, sexual harassment's going on.
Yeah, anytime you... I had been like that as well, and the other night I was an insomniac, and I caught up on the world for a little bit and found out everybody was getting harassed by Harvey Weinstein. Weinstein.
It doesn't matter if I say it. Oh, is that what started it?
Well, yeah, like, so... I mean, we're not going to give you the timeline. You can Google this shit. But producer Harvey Weinstein.
Doesn't matter.
Weinstein.
He doesn't deserve you to say it right.
He doesn't. Harv there. Creepy Harv. Dirty Harv. You know, like they produce it like, this dude's been creeping on people. I'm like, what? And then I think there's a hashtag today about Me Too. It's like people talking about their sexual harassment. And then even like dudes, which is like
experiences,
unusual.
Not their harassment.
Right, like, right. Not like, man, I harass the shit out of these people. No. So like, and all of it, you know, I don't want to sound, I feel a little callous to this because it, you know, it's so much of it. I like subscribe or I follow the workplace harassment one and the UK one. I see a lot of these stories, and I can see how you can become desensitized to hearing these stories or even just kind of super cynical. It's just like, God, this shit happens all the time. And not to say like that my perspective is the one you should listen to. Like, don't talk about your harassment because you're really bumming me out, guys. I'm just saying that it is pretty awful. You hear all these things, you're like, God, everybody sucks. Everybody's fucking awful. There's so much. Oh, it's called like everyday sexism. That's the Twitter handle I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And you know,
or,
go ahead.
I said, yeah, everybody sucks, everybody's awful, or everybody's just human and has base desires that they let control them sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, and that it tends to be something, and maybe it's cultural, but there is definitely a biological element to it, you know. And so but I get tired of why every scandal has to blow up into like why does Harvey Weinstein that whole thing to me was big enough on its own without, and this whole sexual harassment happens to everybody all the time, all women all the time thing is a constant ongoing thing. I don't know. It surprises me that particular individual scandal is piggybacked on for other people to take a stand and say, yeah, I've been sexually harassed too. You know, like,
yeah.
Like, does that make sense?
Yeah, I think it's kind of a natural thing. I mean, I don't know. You never know what is going to be the catalyst for a moment for, like, you know, a topic blowing up. It's weird how it happens like that. Something very similar, Gina, was the Bill Cosby thing, right? People had talked about it for years. Same thing with this Harvey Weinstein. A lot of people knew it. It was like an open secret. A lot of people talked about it. And people even said it publicly. I think you know, the people were like, you know, we just wrote about Bill Cosby last year. And only now it's bringing it up after. Why? It was a viral video. The what's his name? The comedian. I can't think of his name right now. You can't think of it either?
No.
God, I can't. I'm terrible. But that dude, like, did it in his set. And for whatever reason, like, that just kind of became a thing. And now everybody took it seriously. It was just weird.
Yeah.
Like, right. the year previous, Bill Cosby was on tour. He put out a special, you know? Like, it's weird how that happens.
Right. I guess it's like we've established the fact that the way the culture has existed up until this point is fucked up. The way that we've let men in power get away with this, and all men in general, but specifically men in certain levels of power get away with this sort of thing. And it's a problem. And we've said, and I think overwhelmingly people have said, yes, it's a problem. And so more people from that, I mean, he's ultimately from he's a product of that culture that believes that let that happen, right? Yeah. That we no longer accept. Right. We've already established that we no longer accept that as a culture. So to continue to say, I don't know, maybe not. Maybe we need to keep reinforcing it. But to me.
Are you asking
how many times do you come out? How many times do you as a person, like as a woman, maybe it's inappropriate for me to even be talking about this. But as a woman, like I've been sexually harassed and sexually taken advantage of, like that's happened to me in my life, but how many times do you as a woman, every time one of these scandals happens, come out on Facebook and say me too? You know, like, is it just a reminder? Do you feel like everybody still constantly needs to be reminded that, and is that how you want to be identified, as, oh, she's the one that is
I see what you're saying there. And I think some people use that like question as like some criticism to silence the majority of people. And I think right now it's at the point where you can't say it enough, because the default attitude is shut up about your harassment. Don't bring it up. Nobody wants to hear about that. Or, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I mean, a very powerful producer up until 2 weeks ago, you know, was allowed to get away with this kind of thing. And right. If you look at the number of powerful women that we didn't even know were being harassed the whole time by this dude, right?
And I think part of the point in those people speaking up is to point more attention to how insane it is that these individuals, the harassers, have been doing this and getting away with it. It's not it's not about I'm a victim and then we all stand up and say, oh, I'm a victim too, but it's more like,
right,
look who's been harassing people. Look who,
right,
this person in power who's been able to, you know, force themselves or control people or influence people's careers or manipulate them from their place of power using this. And I think this week we've also seen men speaking out and saying, mm-hmm, I've been a victim too. A lot of people in Hollywood have spoken out. Terry Crews, James Vanderbeek, and I don't remember who else, but other people saying, yeah, me too. And that, I don't think they were even meaning to detract from women's stories, but more just like it's affecting everyone. And look how rampant it is in Hollywood, and that we should acknowledge what these men in power are doing and have been getting away with, and that they should be held accountable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it's the kind of thing that happens, like, so it's kind of like the way it's akin to having like a room. I will use us for example. There was a box, you know, when we moved a couple months ago, and it still is not taken out of this one spot. And we kept like, we gotta do something about it, right? And we both acknowledge it, but we never really did it or addressed it. You know, man, we'll get around to it. We'll get around to it. And that's the same thing. Like, everybody knows sexual harassment's bad, and you kind of, it's bad, we should do whatever, you know, nobody should be,
right,
whatever. But we don't actually do something about something very obvious that we know we can do, this one thing. And in this case, it's this very powerful producer that everybody knows about. Everybody knows the problem. But why is it still there? And so you could similarly come and ask me, like, you keep talking about getting things done and, like, how this box doesn't want to, you don't want it to be here, but it's still here. What are you going to do about it?
Like,
and I would have no good answer. So, you know, we eventually got to it.
And if all the shit pops out of the box, you have to clean it up.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, well,
yeah,
I guess I got to fucking deal with it now.
Or if your box starts infringing on other people's lives to a degree that they feel like they need to speak up about it. You know, and I mean, that's...
Well, I mean, I understand what you're getting at, but my point is that here's something so obviously bad that we all could agree upon it, meaning me and Gina in this particular example, this one box. And this box is the example of Harvey here.
Sure.
Sexual harasser that we all agree is bad. Well, how come it was around for so long, and why the one day we decided to move it? Did we decide to move it that one day? Like, was it more convenient than any other days? No. Was it more in the way? No. That's the day we got to it.
Right.
And I think people just kind of do that kind of thing.
Right. But my whole thing, like, I think that's fine. I think that he, like, I read the story. I'm like, dude deserves to fry and be completely excommunicated from all his circles. Yes, that should happen. We don't stand for this as a culture. So here's the repercussions. It's strange. I guess it was just strange to me because I remember it seems like even less, maybe less than a year ago, there's another viral Facebook thing where women were basically just like their status. It was the same status. And it was about like, I've been sexually harassed, you know? And it's like, once you've done that, do you need to do it again? Do you need to keep doing that? And maybe you do. Maybe you need to keep reminding the whole world that. But at some point, what happens is I think about my friend, Jessica, who's not a real person. I have no friends named Jessica. I have one that I can think of, but it's not her. I think of her and I think, oh, she's the one that says sexual harassment victim, you know, and that becomes her identity to me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And like at some point it waters it down. Like, and I've already made the decision personally. This is not okay culturally for me. This is not okay. And if I see it, like I'm going to stand against it, like in my own universe. And I don't, so it doesn't do anything for me to hear a bunch of other people reinforcing it, you know, over and over again. But maybe there are more people. Maybe there are people
that
still need to convince. Maybe it hasn't permeated the culture to the degree I think it has. You know.
And maybe I mean, I feel like the answer is that it hasn't, because if everybody talking about it last year had solved this big problem, we wouldn't be talking about it this year, because Harvey Weinstein wouldn't have been able to get away with it any further beyond that point, because it would have been fixed, right?
But how much was he? And that's what I'm saying is, like, he is from a product of the past generation, right? He's not a new, he's been established for our entire lives. He's been there. And so expecting him that he's all of a sudden going to be not that guy anymore.
Yeah, well, all right. So
it's like thinking Dan Draper is not, you know, he's a product of his Don time. Draper. Don, whatever his fucking name is. Like,
well, before you go on, though.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see kind of what you're pointing at, but I think you're limiting, you know, the effectiveness of it. Because it's not supposed, you're like, well, this is supposed, you're supposed to read this? Oh, you're a victim? Oh, shit, I'm a harasser. I need to stop harassing people, right? I'm done harassing now. Now that I know that it's bad. You're right, you convinced me. It's not necessarily that. it's to talk about how prevalent it is, to bring awareness of it, right? It's like, here's something you probably didn't know, guy, because guys are not really the harassed.
But you also want to influence and control the behavior of those people of that other generation. Like, okay, harassment's not a problem for the new generation anymore. Neither is racism, right? We all love each other under 40. We're awesome.
Look at all the white nationalists. Man, they sure look young.
But if we continue 30. To speak up and say when we've been victims of racism, when we've been victims of oppression, then those 50-plus-year-old people who can't be changed and are just set in their racist ways will at least not be allowed to exert that racist influence anymore. They'll shut up about it. They'll keep their racist thoughts to themselves. Because this new culture is going to be such that it won't allow them to speak up and be openly racist or openly oppressive.
Yeah, so I think that's one of the goals. There's two things, though.
Not to make it about racism, but, that's
the same exact analogy I was going to use was, like, I'm not condoning saying, oh, Harvey, ha, 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 you're just an old dude. You can't help yourself and overlooking it. No, he should face the repercussions of his actions. But at some point, on some level, like my grandmother has an incorrect view of race. And
your grandma's a racist, is what you're saying?
Yeah, she's a racist. Yeah. And she can't help herself to a degree. There was a time where she should have and could have. And I don't absolve her of responsibility there. But at the same time, I recognize that there's little I'm going to be able to do to, at some point in her life, it becomes an innocent, like, ignorant thing. You know, she's ignorant.
Well, I would say, but like,
but she wouldn't go out into public doing that because she knows it's not culturally acceptable, right?
Right.
You know, and that's what I'm saying. Like,
why does she know that it's not culturally acceptable?
Because the culture has made it so, right?
Yeah. Right, because we did it that one year when we all said, yeah, I've been a victim too, and then we never said it again.
Well, at some point, though, you don't have to say it anymore. You know, it's just known and it's felt, and the power of it is felt, right? And I'm asking.
In that part, I think you're wrong. I think you're wrong there. Is that,
where does that change?
Because at some point in some circles, yeah. So I think in your example, your fake friend Jessica, in your circles, probably doesn't need to remind you anymore. Yeah, so like your fake friend Jessica doesn't need to remind you anymore, right? And I can see how that would become annoying. You're like, okay, geez, I get it. And it sounds bad to say, but societally speaking, we need to be reminded of that. And what is our evidence of that? That so many people are raising their hand like, yeah, just recently I was sexually assaulted.
Sure.
And so you're like,
that's still an ongoing epidemic issue.
Yeah, sure. And so like, yeah, that's the thing, is that you hear a lot of people like, what? Like, fucking Mike Dick out here, right? I don't see no oppression in the last 100 years, right? What are the black people talking about? I don't see no oppression. Like, the last 100 years, there's like Emmett Till poll taxes, you know, like Jim Crow. Like, what the hell are you talking about, Mike Dicka? You don't know shit. So don't be like Mike Dicka in any setting is the thing.
Like a snowball, I guess, of awareness.
What?
And it's one of those issues where...
Is that the name of the show?
Whenever it picks up...
Snowball of awareness.
When it picks up speed again, it starts rolling. And people who got picked up the last time it came through don't need to get picked up again. You're not going to get added to the snowball because you're already in it.
Sure.
But apparently there are still people who are on the outside. Like somebody... Like we listened to NPR today, and the guy, I don't even know, we came in mid-interview, but he's like, yeah, and so she said, I didn't even know that verbal things were sexual harassment. I thought it was only touching. I'm like, to me, who the hell, in, you know, a living person with a brain working right now today would say that? Who doesn't know? Because this has been beaten into our heads, hasn't it?
Like, sure.
Haven't we all been taught what sexual harassment is? that unwanted comments or touching all constitute sexual harassment, but apparently not. She didn't get picked up by the snowball the last time it rolled through. So people are still out there. So it is important for people to talk about it anytime it comes up again. And maybe they reach another person who didn't know, or another person who didn't know that they could talk about what happened to them, or another guy or woman out there who's still harassing people and getting away with it somehow, even though most of us think we know this is wrong and people shouldn't be getting away with it anymore.
Well, do you think that most people think that? Do you think that the majority of America, let's just limit to America, believe or are on the train, the sexual harassment is wrong train?
I think maybe half of people know.
It's not a good possibility. Sexual harassment is
I don't know if we want to make that into a train. I think maybe half people know, you know, what issues exist and agree, or just they fall on the right side of them. And I think maybe the other 25% don't care. It doesn't affect them. And so, then the remaining 25% maybe fall on the wrong side.
Can you use a pretty extreme example real quick? So one thing I saw, I think it might have been a country singer, a guy in the band, at the Las Vegas shootings, right? He said, you know what? I was on the side. I'm a staunch Second Amendment dude. And I just completely flipped it, right? He's like, I just didn't, you know, like, there was there was a guy shooting. And we all had, like, me and all my friends here all had, you know,
guns
and stuff. Sure. But we couldn't do anything about it. If we went and grabbed them, the cops were going to think it was going to be us, right? So we were useless. We were powerless against one crazy guy with a ridiculous rifle and just killing everybody.
Right.
He shouldn't have that firepower. And he was just like, it didn't really ever snap for me. I don't know. To me, I feel like there was plenty of examples previous to that to kind of convince you that, hey, maybe you don't need a high-powered rifle. We don't need that in public. But some people need to see it a little bit closer.
Some people don't need an example at all.
Yeah. Some people are like, you know, I can see how that would be bad.
Right.
And so, yeah, you know, I think it's...
So he got picked up by that snowball.
Well, okay, so at what point, though, can we start celebrating, hey, we got another fucking bad guy? Why can't there be some level of like, hey, we are now the right, we are the ones, we know what's right, we've changed the culture, this is wrong, Harvey Weinstein, we found another one, dug him out, and got rid of him. Why can't we celebrate instead of immediately be like, holy shit, guys, this is still a major epidemic. Is it still, that's what I'm saying, is it still a major epidemic today for this generation coming up, or is everybody that we're nailing to the cross?
I see what you mean, but I feel like that's kind of the difference between tuning into the news versus just kind of living in the world. Like, you kind of have to dip in and out of the story or else get overwhelmed by the sensationalism of it all.
Right.
And so if you're only tuning in to the latest storm about it, all you're going to see is panic and, why are we reacting like this is the first time this has happened? Why are we talking about this guy like we didn't already know that this was wrong and like we haven't changed things? But I think if you take a step back, you'll realize we are celebrating. And a lot of the times things are fine because men and women work together in the workplace. And most of the time no one's getting harassed and things are fine.
Yeah. I think what's important to remember, and I think I've seen this with kind of like, no, it's like racism, right? It's a big thing that people talk about. I remember when I was a kid, and it kind of
is.
I remember when I was a kid. I was a kid in the 90s, and so like the way people talked about it seemed unusual to me, right? It was like, why are they talking about it that way? That seems weird. Then I put it in context with the way what I eventually learned about the world, and see, it was like, oh, Rodney King was very recent there, right? You can see what people, like the teachers, is what I'm talking about, spoke about it in a certain way. And so the thing is that, like, having lived through that, having grown up with kids and other people at the same time, we all had certain lessons, but then I went to a different school, and I'm like, these kids didn't learn the same lessons that we did here. Or they didn't, it just, everything's different here. How could things be different? And you realize that not everybody gets the same message all the time. And right. ostensibly, I mean, there's a lot of the same thing, right? A lot of culture is the same. You know, we all grew up in America in the same city, right? But some kids didn't get it, you know? Some kids didn't really have to deal with it, or they never tangled with some of those questions the same kind of way. And really, sure. a lot of it is like, you know, because they didn't grow up with black people around them, you know? And so, yeah, it's the same thing. There's, I think one of the stupidest excuses for some of these things is when people say, I never see it, right? It, yeah, right. yeah. So maybe talk to the people that do see it every day. And I think that's why it's important for the Me Toos, right? For the people to raise their hands for when that happens. You know, I can't say that it's fun or exciting to listen to those stories all the time. But I'm sure it's not fun or exciting to experience it all the time either, to have gotten those stories when you didn't want those. Nobody wants to be sexually harassed. So,
right. I mean,
yeah,
but it can, but you can't have a perspective that's like, I was sexually harassed. I've been sexually harassed, and it brings my heart peace to see that another person who was a serial sexual harasser is being brought to justice, rather than it's all doom and gloom. Everybody's a sexual harasser. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a difference in perspective there, in like celebrating the bringing of another person, outlier, inlier, whatever, to justice, and saying he's finally getting what he deserves. You know, he's been doing this. He's been a monster for these many years, and seeing that and saying, well, shit, it's just all, nothing we've done has done any good, and it's still just as bad as it was. Because I don't think it is. I think there's room to say, to celebrate the fact that we've come far enough that somebody like Harvey Weinstein can get what he fucking deserves. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, we've come far enough in a culture. 20 years ago, he would have made it through his whole career and nothing would have happened.
Yeah.
But today, we've come far enough that he can be brought to justice. And he is. And we should celebrate that and not just turn on the doom and gloom further and look how bad it still is, sort of thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, and there's a positive element to that that's a reinforcement of, we don't stand for this culture, that I think some people, and I'm talking about the people that vote for Trump out of the, I'm tired of hearing how bad it all is and how, so I'm going to just vote for Trump because he is making things great. He's put, even if he's full of shit, he's talking about positive shit that people can get behind in nostalgia and stuff like that. And he's using these tools that I think that at some point the negative, using the negative as a motivator is fails. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean,
I did until you said nostalgia.
Yeah, you kind of. It's kind of hard to keep up with.
Only that word lost me, because who the hell wants to go back?
I mean, look.
Well, yeah,
I understand your overall point is that there's a lot of ways you can interpret news. You can get a piece of news and you can be fatalistic about it, and you can be excited about it. There's some positivity in all these things. I also think that it's a matter of circumstance. Like, sometimes you can't, I mean, the way it just hits you in your gut, your immediate reaction to it is your immediate reaction to it, right? It could be you've had a hard day and maybe you dumped your wine on the ground for the second time. Some people think that's funny. Other people start cursing, right? What is the reaction? It's a whole set of circumstances that
sure.
You know, yeah. So, sure. I mean, I don't blame anybody for however they react to it immediately. I think everybody should, you know, if you're happy about it, if you're sad about it, think about it a little bit and reflect on whatever in the hell is happening.
I just think, yeah, sure, definitely. I think that this is a victory. I see it as a victory. I see it as another bastard with a lot of money and a ton of power not being able to use that money and power anymore. A ton, an inordinate amount of power and control, not being able to use that anymore because the culture has changed so much that it doesn't matter how much power you have. Even in the world of Trump, the harasser president, you know, who grabs women by their pussy, we don't stand for that and the majority, the population has enough power to sway the Hollywood to oust this dude and to excommunicate him and to strip him of all his honors. You know, that's a powerful statement that should be celebrated. In as much as it says we still have a long way to go, there should be a moment of celebration. I haven't seen anything to that, you know, and that, I guess that makes me sad. And it's like, how far, how much do you have to get
before you
say, hey, we've done some good. We're not all the way there. Nothing is ever 100% in anything that I've ever seen in life. But you can celebrate where you've come and still recognize you have a distance to travel, you know?
Yeah, and so that's Del telling everybody to shut up about your harassment story.
And
to yourself,
Brad mode off.
Like, I don't understand what all you women complain about.
Del did have to carry the load for both of them, so.
I mean, yeah.
He's stepping up.
Yeah, I think, I mean, you know, just like for me, like I said, I think it's real easy just to see, look at stuff like this and say, that shit don't apply to me, man. But then it does. It can. Now, what the hell is this decisionproblem.com?
And why are you still playing?
I mean, I'm listening to Dell and I'm just clicking raise and lower prices while he's like,
You're going to keep doing it. Then you're going to be like, tomorrow or the next day, you're going to be like, what the fuck? Where am I?
Can you tell me what got you to this point?
So I woke up and I checked my phone. Like, I hit my Google search bar and like it gives you suggestions of articles that you might like to read based on your what you've read in the past based on your history.
Right.
And so this gave me a Verge article talking about AI design, because I'm very much interested in AI. I talk about it on here a lot and how robots are going to do everything for us. And then what do we need money for?
That's true.
It is
give a misrepresentation of our podcast.
That's all it's about.
I talk about all the time. No, it doesn't.
I've done it at least twice. That's basically all. We should just celebrate it. We don't need to talk about
it. I'm always talking about it. Nope.
So this guy, he's like a game theory professor at some university in the north. Made this game, this paperclip game. It's a clicker, which is a genre of games where you progress the game by clicking as much as possible, basically. And there are different things to click, and you have to keep up with a bunch of different things. But the article was compelling because it said the deeper level or the underlying thing is how quickly AI can get out of control. Like, what if you programmed an AI to make as many paperclips as possible? What if that was the AI's goal?
Mm-hmm.
And as it gets smarter and learns, what happens over time? And so this starts out, you're just a single paperclip dude. I'm going to make paperclips for fun, for my career. And you just start bending and making your own paperclips and selling them. And then you buy some machines that can do it. And then you program those machines to do it better and better. And then you create a computer that makes itself more efficient, and how that goes on and on. And it's surprising how deep it goes. It's surprising to me how deep it goes, how much there is to it. Like, I kept thinking, okay, this is like a simple exercise, but no, it's like, I've been playing it for a week. I've beaten it like four times and I keep playing.
How do you win?
Well, play it, man. You'll see. I'm not telling you anything about it. You got to play the game.
Okay.
But if you give it like 30 minutes, you're going to be sucked the hell in. And then in about a day or two, you're going to be like, what the fuck? I'm not kidding, dude. It was mind blowing to me. So I don't want to give anything away about it. We can talk about it after y'all played it and see what your reactions are to it. But there was a moment that I was like, oh, cool. Okay. And then after that, I was like, wait, what the fuck? Like, later on. So, yeah.
Okay. I'm waiting for that to happen. I'm just.
It's only been
30 minutes.
5 minutes.
It's been 30 minutes.
You're not even committing your full attention to it, though, man. And maybe you're just not as efficient a clicker as I am.
Efficient? It kind of made no sense. I mean, so I have $354. I mean,
we'll
that's
come
what's
back
happening
to
right
that.
Now.
Yeah. You'll get back to me. After you make $1 billion, you can come back and talk to me.
$1 billion?
So, yeah. Racism's over. Sexual harassment's not a thing. What else has...
It's on its way out the door.
Sweet. I mean, it's basically it, man. I mean, we kind of solved it all.
Life is great, and almost everyone is awesome.
Sweet.
I mean, life is pretty good, right? Y'all, do you feel like life is pretty good?
I think humans are predisposed to find a happy happiness quotient there. So then, you know, it's
kind of his bumper sticker reads.
Yeah, I'm like,
happiness.
You have a happiness limit.
honk if you agree.
I think it's both, and you have to be able to see both sides. You can't just be life is great and most people aren't awful, because then you won't pay attention to the people who are suffering and need help, or the people who are corrupt and abusing power. But you do have to stop and say, you know, things are pretty amazing.
Or at least say, I actually have it pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, I actually have it pretty fucking good. And like, yeah, there's shit I can work on that I need to work on, but I can spread my goodness to other people. I have things I can give away, you know, because I have pretty good things in my life, even not just monetarily, but just life-wise, you know? And rather than saying, man, everything fucking sucks. Look at what that dude has that everybody should have. We need to take that from that guy, you know? I think if we all said, hey, we have something that we can give, and let's give that away, that does more than trying to force somebody else to give their shit up, you know? You know what I'm saying? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know where I am tonight. I'm obviously in a really weird
I mean,
mind.
I kind of understand what you're saying.
Just talking.
You're a little weird, in a little weird spot. I think, I mean, I don't know. That kind of stuff happens.
Sick of the negativity, I get that.
I mean, yeah, I think it's real easy to get real negative a lot. And
that's why sometimes I have to just stop paying attention to the news.
Yeah.
Because it gets to be too much. And
right.
I can't handle how awful everything is, or how awful you start to think everything is.
Yeah, I think what makes me... I know some other people I've known, right, that get some super cynical about stuff, is that you lose the joy in it because you just experience the tedium of it. It's like work, right? Like, work is great. Work is sometimes challenging. But then when it becomes more of a problem, you just want to get away, right? And we talked about this before in the show. Like, God, you just... Why are vacations useful, right? Because they give you a break. And humans need a break because we're not machines. We need a break. And even... I think machines need a break, right? They need some downtime for maintenance. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of what it is. And, you know, if you don't give yourself the permission. If I say permission, I sound like an asshole. So.
Permission to breathe.
But give yourself permission to enjoy. But, I mean, yeah, everything that we said tonight, right, has kind of that same thing. I mean, you know, Dell's like, it's good to hear stories, but is it too much? What point is it too much? Like, man, that's too many sexual harassment stories for one day. I don't know. I don't know what the appropriate amount is for you, but I sure don't want to hear about all the awful things in this world all at once, or just on nonstop repeat every day, you know, because then I would be pretty upset. And I think by the same token, the people that are like, I don't want to hear anything bad. I want to have zero bad. That's bad for them, because then they have a misunderstanding about how the world works, like, or they just refuse to believe that the world could be, you know, bad out there. Like, I don't want to live in a world where people are getting murdered. Like, well, nobody does, but people are getting murdered. Can you please solve this problem? You know what I mean? Like, well, I just can't accept that people are getting murdered right now. Like, really? Well, somebody's dead, and we got to solve it. So we have to, you know what I mean? Like, then they're just useless.
You can't bury your head in the sand, for sure.
So then, you know, you have to find the right balance. And, yeah. And what that is for everybody, for a given person is, you know, different based on that person and their general makeup and, you know, set of circumstances and what they're ready for at that point in time.
Yeah.
So everybody get, you know, it's just like us with this stupid podcast, you know, like I'd like to do it every week. For a while there, we were doing it every week. We're like, fuck, this shit's hard to do every week. I hate doing the show now. And then, so we could take a break. And then we get out of practice. And we're like, now we're just kind of rambling. How do you do, what is the appropriate amount of time, the appropriate frequency to podcast? General interest.
Electric.
General. You mean
Eclectic.
There you go.
Specific.
You know, speaking of unfortunate things, did y'all hear Gordon Hayward broke his foot off today?
I did.
Nope. Who is that?
He's a basketball player. I didn't know who
he was. Dude just signed a big old contract to play with the Boston Celtics. And, you know, he, like, early in the first quarter, he jumped up, he came down, he broke his leg. That's
like real bad. Like it was like spinning the wrong way.
Dang.
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah.
On a more positive sports note, we won our game last night.
We did.
That's positive and worth celebrating.
Soccer?
Yes.
Congratulations, guys.
Gina's yet to score a goal, and so same.
I was playing defense.
That was me for 2 years. I never scored a goal. Yeah, and then I scored two goals.
Yeah,
I know. Well, I scored two goals and then I quit and never played again.
Going out on top.
I was just waiting until Adam left. I went and showed him up.
Right now that he's gone, let me bust out my messy skills.
I'm sure there's no video.
How about the U.S. not making it to the World Cup? That's awesome.
You know what? I thought it was. Count me among the people that are like, we deserved it. And I mean, I really didn't like Bruce Arena's like jingoistic, xenophobic remarks. And so I was like, you know what? I don't know if I could root for this team.
Why did they bring him back anyway? Why did they bring him back?
It was just a reaction. I don't know. This is another, a little bit of more of an example of how knowing too much can ruin your enjoyment thereof. I kind of liked it when I could just go, cool, the U.S. national team, fun. But there's no way, it's just like playing blocks with my kid. I enjoy seeing her enjoy blocks, but I don't get any enjoyment out of playing blocks because it's not challenging.
Enough. A little bit.
I mean, a little
bit. You get a tiny bit of enjoyment.
But, you know, like the challenge of it, like you're watching her stack the blocks, like it takes all of her motor skills, like, and she's just right on the edge of she's like,
almost
I just learned how to
unblock.
use this fine motor skill here. And so she's like, you know, sharpening it. It's all, you know, it's all exciting for her. But for me, I can stack them. I can stack a lot of blocks. I mean, it's not challenging at all to me.
That should be your next t-shirt. I can stack a lot of blocks.
But yeah, I mean, you know,
I'd buy that t-shirt. I would. That is that was some funny shit to me. It was just like three blocks stacked up and a couple on the ground beside.
I don't know if you noticed, but I can stack a lot of blocks, man. Yeah. So I mean, you know, like that's the deal with the U.S. men's national team is like
you can't stack a lot of blocks.
Yeah, I can't enjoy them at the same level as I could when I first got into them. What is that? 2002.
You can stack more blocks than them.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. There are more blocks to be stacked. I thought about this too. You know, like when we first started watching soccer, and then, you know, everything they did was amazing. I was like, man, how's this dude just like pass it like that? How's he just kick it up in the air and like get it to go where it needs to go? That's crazy. You know, look at that guy just settle the ball like. He chested down and go right to his foot. He does it all casual, like it wasn't amazing, you know? Like, how come that's not in a highlight reel? And then you play a little bit and you realize little children can do that. And you're like, oh, it's not so special, you know? You know, whatever. So now, you know, I watch it and I want to see, like, really intelligent quality play. And so you're like, I don't want to watch Stoke. Stoke sucks. let me watch someone that's good, you know? Anyway, that's how you end up, and Gina and I talk about this sometimes, that's how you end up only, like, thinking all the movies suck, and you only want to watch the two movies that were good that year. But you still love movies, and, you know, you were super excited. You're still the same person that watched a ton of movies, but...
You just want them all to be good.
Yeah, you can't watch any... You know, I've watched some of the movies I liked when I was a kid.
Like, yeah, it's like you can't drink bad coffee after you drink really good Pour River coffee. It's like...
Speaking of...
I love coffee, and that's why I only drink...
the best coffee.
Yeah.
At Lee's Coffee and Tea.
I got a feeling today, I was like, man, I'm really doing something that doesn't really belong in Laurel. Like, there is maybe 2% of the population of Laurel that even has the, like, objective ability to appreciate what's going on. And that's not, like, I'm not trying to be dismissive or like a dick, but truly, like, I feel like sometimes the reason people enjoy the coffee that I pour so much is just because I am talking about it passionately to them the whole time I'm making it. And I hand it to them. They're, like, excited about it because I put that excitement in their hearts. And they taste it, and it tastes amazing. But it doesn't actually – they have no objective, like, basis for it, you know. They just – I just stirred their hearts like a preacher on the street corner here. And I think it's sustainable, but I don't know if it is. I don't know. We'll have to see.
I mean,
I'm definitely a peddler of drugs now.
I don't know. There's some, if you think about it as, like, you know, for what it is, that it is totally unnecessary. You don't need coffee to live, although a lot of t-shirts and slogans say you do, right? I need my coffee to keep me going in the morning again. I mean, it is something. So you can teach them to appreciate that. There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. You're sending
but
them
that's
on
the
a
thing.
Journey
that
ends with them being a cynic
that way.
And unable to taste the goodness of Folgers that they so enjoy.
I know. Exactly. But that's what I tell people. Like, when I make it, I'm like, my goal is to make it that so that you cannot enjoy coffee unless it's from here and I make it, you know, like, basically, like, that's my goal. And I tell people straight up, that's what I want to do, is I want to ruin coffee for you, except for this.
Ominous. I don't know. I don't know if I like that story, Mary.
but you're definitely right. Like, it is an education process. Like, a big part of this undertaking is knowing that I have to develop the coffee culture. And I think it's possible, because it's not that there aren't people that are able to appreciate that. Nobody, that people are so ignorant in Mississippi they can't. It's that nobody has challenged them to do that and provided the means for them to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I think I was watching a rerun of Seinfeld, and they're like, are you going to get one of those cappuccinos? You know, they're talking like that, like it's weird. And,
right.
I
vaguely remember in the 90s when...
yeah.
Lattes and cappuccinos were an obscure, very strange thing.
Yeah, I remember being, like, asking Gina, like, I mean, what are all these things here, you know? And then, like, what is this stuff? I just know about coffee, man. I don't know about whatever's going on here. I don't know what the hell's going on. So, yeah, I mean, that, because, like, the connections from, like, all that culture, right, are not there. The network, the node.
Right.
Are not there into the more rural places, because why would they be, right? You know, there's all those things that they talk about, like influencers and, like, whatever, right? So those people are slow to get there. Like, whoever taught you about coffee, when did that happen? And where were you?
I was, well, okay, my first experience with, like, third wave coffee, I guess, was in Louisville, Texas, at church. You know, I was super proud and really into the fact that I love Keurig, you know, French roast, and I love the dark, you know, rich stuff or whatever.
Yeah.
And he was like, hey, let me make you this cup of coffee. And it tasted like fruit and sweet. And I was like, what the hell is this? This is coffee? Like, this, I never knew coffee could be this, you know?
Yeah.
And then right soon, so I got deep into it immediately, because that's what I do. And almost immediately after that shift opened in Angelo in Denton, and I started going because friends played board games, and I would go talk to them and get pour overs, and you know, not really understanding all of it, but that was coinciding with my interest in with craft beer and home brewing and stuff, and so there are a lot of similarities in the balance of science and artistic elements between brewing beer and making craft coffee.
Yeah.
And so I just kind of it came up beside it, you know. And I was surprised when I tell people I've been doing this, you know, I've been learning and teaching myself how to do this for 6 years. Like hearing myself say that, I was like, shit, I've been doing this for 6 years, you know?
A long time.
And I'm teaching a couple of employees how to make some of the stuff I'm doing, and it is blowing their mind. They don't know and the technique and stuff. And one of them tonight asked me, well, how long was it before you could just make it, being confident that you make it? And I was like, shit, actually, I remember learning to make a pour over coffee, and pretty much every time I made it, I had to watch a video of somebody else doing it and try to copy that, you know, and not being sure whether I was doing it right. Really, now I can tell, I can taste it and be like, nah, this was over extracted, it's too bitter, whatever, you know. Yeah. But
you still haven't answered the question.
What was the question?
How long?
Yo, let me tell you a story about YouTube.
How long did it take you to learn?
Yeah. How long did it take you?
This
is the worst. Not, I wonder if it does not, at work. I'd leave this job. Like, man, you suck, man. I'm trying to learn some shit, and you just tell me a story about YouTube.
Not doing it every day and not doing it, you know, consistently, having periods of time where I got busy and I would stop doing it. Mm-hmm. I would come back. It's only been since I've been back here, and I do it all the time, that I'm I don't have to look at any of the recipes. I know it all in my head. I can make changes on the fly to adjust what I'm doing. I understand all the nuances of it, but that's doing it every day and making 20 or 30 a day. You know, if I stopped and I quit for 4 months and I came back to it, I'd have to look everything up again. You know, I might understand the underlying principles of it now. They might be ingrained, but the surface level, ratios and precise things, I would have to look up all that.
So 6 years.
Yeah, I know, because I was the answer is a number, and he never said not one number.
It's not. People ask me, and it's really a rabbit hole. It's an endless journey towards perfection that you can never achieve. And I like that.
You know what, son? I still ain't learned it. That's all you had to say. You didn't have to say whatever it was. You give that paragraph. It's like, man, this guy
never did.
I mean, you got to understand the nature of learning itself, you know? When does one become confident in themselves? One time my grandma, who was racist, by the way, she says to me,
no fault of her own.
And I'm going to use an expletive here. And so you just say, what the fuck happened? I was asking how many receipts. Receipts pulls are up there.
You get old, Adam. Fucking A, dude. You talk and say shit that you used to make fun of me for 5 or 6 years ago. It was so funny to me that I hear you being in that space now.
I don't believe it. I'm telling you right now that this is a lie.
In another couple of years, we'll have audio proof of all these things.
You can hear me say the truth, is it?
I think nobody's going to come through it.
That's cool, though. It's cool that you're out there selling coffee with your coffee maker. What is it? What kind of coffee? Is it?
It's a Dell 5000.
Yeah. Got the Dell 5000. I don't know, dude. So that's what I'm saying, is that there's always a person that takes it someplace, and you never know what your role is going to be. And it could be, whenever I encounter a situation like this, I think about at the church that we went to, and you know, they talk about when you're preaching to people, right? You don't know what, if you're the seed, right? If you're the person that waters the seed, idea is that you don't know at what step of the process you are in somebody's learning journey, right? You know. And that's kind of ties into what we're talking about for the first 30 minutes of this podcast. Yeah, snowball. Genus snowball analogy.
So So don't hate the news, Dale.
Yeah, I mean,
it's there for someone who needs it.
Yeah.
Somebody needs to hear it for the 15th time.
I mean, but yeah, you don't need to hear it. Like, that's what I'm saying. The other part of that is that, like, you know, if you're going to be spamming your Facebook page with whatever it is that you're spamming it with, right? A given thing, given topic, you got to consider your audience.
Pour over coffee.
Yeah. If you're just like, you know what? I'm the pour over coffee guy because that's all I talk about. And, you know, people are going to tune you out and maybe not listen to you all the time.
Sure. You're right.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I was talking about like the websites we do. Because we can, you know, because we're not like even Mean Green Nation. I always think it's silly in the off seasons of football, college football blogs. You can see them. They're like, well, we just got to fill content. I'm like, no, you don't. You ain't got to fill content, man.
Just stop. Nobody's going to your site anyway.
Yeah. You can do it, like, if it comes from a natural place. You know what I mean? Like, hey, I have this website, and I want to talk about this. I know it's unrelated, but just hear me out. And I've read, like, basketball blogs where this guy's like, yeah, it's the offseason. There's nothing to talk about. So here, let me tell you a story. And those are really interesting, right? Yeah, we're, you know, that it was kind of organic. It wasn't forced. What feels disingenuous, it's like somebody's like, well, here, like, let me just rank everybody. Let's rank the worst losses that you've ever had. And you're just like, what are you dragging me here for? And it feels like somebody's being rude to you, like they're inviting you over for their house. You normally have board game night, but you're out of board games, and so they just invite you over, and they're like, look at my oranges. I wanted to talk to you about oranges. Like, no, you didn't. You just wanted to keep this up because you felt like you had to. Like, I don't want to fucking talk about your oranges, man. And, yeah, so because we don't have to, right? Nobody's forcing us to do this podcast.
Right. Things have natural life cycles. And that's a good point because I think the life cycle of our friendship is done, by the way. So I'll see y'all.
It's been real.
And now that I know, he doesn't answer it.
Bye, guys.
ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening to the show. This is the Deranged Banger podcast. As we mentioned, we try to do it bi-weekly, but as we said, hey man, we just float with the biorhythms.
The Mean Green Nation, thanks for listening.
Have you listened to one of my podcasts?
98 yards, ain't no thing. Whatever.
That's not what it says. It doesn't say ain't no thing. I'd buy the shirt if it said ain't no thing. Ain't no thing. Yeah. So Dell's, you know.
I don't know what he's doing. Going insane.
I don't know what he's doing right now. He's drank a whole bottle of wine via throwing it on the ground.
Thinking
tonight.
About how
trying to fill the space that Brad would normally fill, and I haven't had to be a super active participant in this thing in quite a while.
Welcome to the show.
It's probably since that like 6 month break I took. I came back and I've just kind of like sat here and hung out with you guys, and. So this is a new thing. We're gonna shift gears here a little bit.
Yeah, I think what we're gonna do for next week, we're gonna talk about it off the
next
line.
Week.
Next episode. What I mean, we kind of got off schedule because we waited. We're supposed to record last week. So what we did was amongst ourselves talked about music, and it's funny. I saw somebody tweet about it. Like, five influential albums, dude. Right? I was like, God, people are tweeting about it. I just had the pulse of America. anyway, so. We all picked some albums that were influential or important, or we just heard that we should listen to, right? So each of us, all three of us, chose five albums, and we're going to, you know, mix them up and choose one, and then we're going to listen to it. We have to play around with the time. I think two weeks is probably enough time to listen to it.
So by next show, we announce the album, the following
show.
Well,
we don't care what the listeners do. Like, they can listen to it after.
Screw the listener. Okay.
Yeah. We're going to listen
to it. Fuck the listener.
Yeah. We'll probably decide on it after the show.
Gotcha.
And then we'll just talk about it. And the listener can, you know, fucking listen to the album. Maybe, yeah. Listen to the music, whatever you want, guy. And so, you know, that's how we're going to do it. So that's what we're going to do next time. If you're like, man, this whole...
What are we going to do?
I don't know.
We're going to do it.
Speaking of, you know, I know you want to talk about Tom Petty because I think, you know, he died.
Right now? That's a good point. He did die.
Yeah. Well, what made me think, because I know that you liked him and you have people that you were close to that liked him a lot. And I saw a tweet today that Mike Reiner from The Ticket, you know, gives me shit about liking The Ticket in Dallas. But he's in a cover band called Petty Theft. And so then, like, at 8.
Yeah, they play in Denton all the time.
Yeah. And so then he tonight he was talking about, you know, Tom Petty's importance. And and is in the musical, I guess, pantheon, et cetera, et cetera. If you
got
2 minutes on Tom Petty, now's your time.
Well, I've said multiple times throughout the years, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, greatest American rock and roll band, period. Period. And I think that in his death, that's borne out by how far-reaching his influence is. Everybody from Dave Grohl to Paul McCartney to, I don't know, pick your country star, to Kesha have done tributes and have been moved. And I don't think they're just like perfunctory to the Killers, like things that have surprised me. And the Killers have done, Jason Isbell was the country dude I was thinking of. Jason Isbell and the Killers were the most amazing Tom Petty tributes, like really surprising. Like Brandon Flowers could front a Tom Petty band and convincingly do it, I think. But it shook me, man. It hit me way harder than any other person. Like, I've not actually like cried over the loss of an artist, but I cried like for a week. Like, I would listen to it and like start listening to the lyrics and it would just get me. And it was surprising how much, and really helped me to understand how much his music has impacted my life. And probably the only one of the few artists that I could say that about, that he has been a major part of the soundtrack of what my life has been. First concert I ever went to, and just always seemed to speak to me where I was, you know, in some way. And kudos to that, man. And I appreciate who he was as a real artist and musician and standing up for himself throughout his life. And he changed the record industry. He's one of the only people, artists I've ever heard of that has beat the record industry. And he did what the fuck he wanted and was successful at it. And yeah.
I'm not going to make fun of him now or say what I actually think about him now because I do that on every other episode. So, you know, happy trails, Tom Petty.